Whoa. I love block all stand up. We gonna wake up.
And welcome back to another episode of This Is Africa.
Welcome.
My name is Adama.
Hi everyone, my name is Lloyd.
Welcome back, guys. My name is Amiri.
Hi guys, Tamba.
Mm-hmm. I think eventually we'll get the once our name starts, you know, quicker succession. That's a good one. How are we doing today, guys? Feeling good?
I'm tired.
Yeah, it's kind of late. We're recording kind of late today. I'm not gonna lie.
So. This is a later one. I'm doing pretty hard with this one.
I'll blame it on Lord.
Yeah, I'm tired, but I'm here. I'm here, y'all.
All right, let's get this show on the roll. Well, in today's episode, This Is Africa, we'll be tapping into sports. And honestly, when we brought the topic and when I thought about it, sports almost seems like an essential part of African life. It almost seems like I've never thought of Africa and sports as separate. You know, I've never gotten there before. And all over the world, I think sports has kind of expanded in its purpose. And it's kind of changed from like simply entertaining people and putting on a show to becoming this platform that I think a lot of people have been able to use to like vocalize their opinions on like social, political, and personal issues and just push different agendas in general. Even advertisements and companies and everything. Just sports is just changing the game. And down to even just organizations who are pushing for development around the world, organizations like the United Nations, who've been emphasizing how useful of a tool sports can even be in like assisting in nations' development. And in their 2030 agenda talks about things that they can do. They explain the role that they can play in bringing about greater equality in sports, as well as achieving some of like their sustainable development goals. They think that especially in places like Africa, the sports economy combined with a lot of the potential of the continent's athletes, all these things together combine for a powerful, powerful acceleration in like our economic and social growth. And I guess where we can start is kind of just wondering whether or not we think sports, first, whether or not we agree with the UN's idea that Africa has this ability, and do we think sports is a real opportunity for Africa in general?
Yeah, so what I've seen online while doing some research is say by 2030, Africa will have the youngest generation of people.
Population.
What?
The youngest population.
Yeah, the youngest population of people. So they're trying to use sports as a way to help increase the economic power of Africa and build up the infrastructure and develop the continent in general. So I could see sports as being a huge and necessity tool to drive Africa's economic wealth.
Sure.
Sure. And just piggybacking off what Emery said, given all the issues there are in Africa, like every time we speak, there's always an issue we bring up. If it isn't the government messing up, it's corruption. If it's not that, it's a famine, climate change, all these things. And sometimes it seems like there's no outlet, right, for us in Africa. Because every time we brought up an issue, even on this podcast, we're like, wait, like, how do we get rid of this? It's in the leader's hands. It's in the leader's hands. But this is the first time we've actually addressed a topic, which we should have talked about this sooner, but we wanted to wait until, you know, it gets closer to the World Cup so we can, it could have more of an impact when people are listening, people are more into sports.
For sure.
But this is the topic. This is the outlet Africa needs in order to develop. There's so many opportunities already. Everybody plays sports in Africa. Every single person.
Yeah.
As a kid, you grow up playing soccer. You grow up playing, if you live in the southern part of Africa, rugby. You're playing some type of sport. No matter what. So I think this is something everybody can get on board with, and it's fun, you know? So I think that sports may be where we need to start in order to ultimately develop the African continent. Now, it's easier said than done, and we're going to get into the technical aspects of it, but I think this is a great start to it.
For sure. I think even giving an opportunity right now, I feel like we have an opportunity to even recognize some people who have done that a little bit, who have pushed that agenda. Like when I think about athletes like Israel Adesanya, I think he is one of the people who I've seen him wear Nigeria on his chest almost. It feels like he has a gigantic tattoo of Africa somewhere on his body and a lion somewhere pictured as well next to it or something like that.
Can you explain to the audience that are not familiar with Adesanya who he is?
Okay. Israel Adesanya is the middleweight champion of the world.
The UFC.
In the UFC. He's a mixed martial arts fighter. He is probably one of the most brutal sports, I guess, in the world. But he is a very successful athlete in that space, to say the least. And
we can even give credit to the other two as well. The other two African giants in there.
All three of them. Kamaru Usman, another Nigerian born. And Francis Ngannou, who was born in
Cameroon.
All three at one point in the past 2 years held the heavyweight title, the middleweight title, and Tama, if you can...
The welterweight title.
All three titles were held by African men. First time in UFC history.
That came
three titles.
Nothing.
All born there who went through excruciating and tough journeys to get to where they are now. And they've lifted the company to new heights. Mm-hmm. Francis is something that the sport has never seen. Izzy is something the sport has never seen. Kamaru is also something the sport has never seen. But the one thing they all have in common is that every time they win a fight or anytime they do anything social, they always bring love and respect back to where they're from, where their country, and they understand, oh, this is what we're here for. Something as simple as Kamaru Usman and Israel Adesanya being the top of their sports and being close in divisions, it's been put out there a lot that they should probably compete. Being the best in their divisions and having basically beaten everybody else in their divisions, it was a good idea to place them against each other. And both of them took the opportunity to say they will never fight each other, only for the simple fact that they'd rather have two Africans in this position rather than one. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks volumes. It just sends messages everywhere to everybody else that it's not one person doing it, it's not this person doing it. No, we're here as a group, and we're here to uplift each other to make sure that we can stay in these positions, you know? So I think there's just more shout-outs to that.
And also, too, these guys came from nothing. So, like, these guys came from a very poor background in Africa.
I don't think Izzy might be the same, but the other two, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Usman and Ngannou. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Ngannou is Spain on the Joe Rogan podcast that he came from a very, like, poor background in Cameroon. But he had to cross, like, deserts and cross, like, seas just to get opportunity.
He was sent back twice, actually.
I didn't even know that.
Sent back twice. He traveled, it was, I'm not sure where, but it was towards Europe. That was, like, his first destination, first stop. And he actually tried to make the journey more than once and was sent back more than once. He tried the journey, a journey that kills, you know? A journey that has killed plenty of people.
Yeah, mind you, this journey had to cross the Sahara Desert and also the Mediterranean Seas. Mm-hmm. You also coming across... these border patrol agents, and not only that too, these guys is traveling within lifeboats, so like the survival ratio is very low.
Yeah, and
you survive.
I mean, by the time this episode comes out, I mean, people would have already had listened to our migration episode, which is exactly speaks about that. We kind of get into the story of Francis Ngannou, so good that you bring that up.
So for these guys to make it is a big thing. It's a big thing for the continent too. So
I believe that. Sports is one of those things that unifies people, especially when there's a lot of like tension in let's say going on in a specific country or something like that. Sports is the one thing that brings a lot of people together. For example, rugby, Nelson Mandela using rugby in a way to unify people after he just got out of prison during the apartheid era. Basically uniting black South Africans and white South Africans using rugby as a way to say that, hey, at the end of the day, we are all one team. We all play for the same team. We are all for the same country. Another way, too, is that, you know, some of the people who have actually been successful in different sports, either whether they're successful in Africa or whether they're successful abroad as being an athlete, is also what they do when they come back. So, for example, Didier Drogba, he's very, very philanthropic, especially when you talk about things that he's done in Ivory Coast. Same thing with Michael Asian in Ghana.
Black stars.
You could say in Wanukanu for Nigeria too as well. So basically what they're able to
money.
Yeah, Sadio so money. What they're able to do with their God-given abilities and be able to, you know, ensure that the people who come after them also have the same level of opportunity that they did, if not better, for them to just move on in life. And I'm glad that, like, they're not just only focusing on just sports, but they're focusing on all aspects of just the quality of human life, you know? Like, for example, this just happened, I think, a couple years ago, where Liberia had elected a president that used to be a soccer player.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so... Yeah, mm-hmm. There we go. I was blanking out on his name.
George Weah. Yeah.
So
he was nice.
So I just like the fact that we see that it's translating outside of sports into different avenues of progression, especially for different African nations. And my only thing is that we should definitely continue the action of learning how to leverage it to our own benefit in many ways, shapes, or forms. So yeah.
I think getting into that kind of maybe lead us into maybe thinking about what are some of the ways I think we're not using it correctly, yeah. Or where are we lacking that we can make use of it?
I mean, so I believe, just answer your question, I believe it's like a big missed opportunity when it comes to Africa and sports, right? We just spoke about all these guys that did something individually. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys decided to come back. They didn't have to come back. And these are the guys that... the 1% of the African population that made it and that were able to be so successful in the sports. But there's a lot of them on the continent, right? Mm-hmm. But also, something that we were talking about earlier, there's a lot of them that were born in another country and decided not to come back. And that's what my... that's where I kind of get upset, right? But mm-hmm. I can't get mad at the people who are not coming back. For example... a good example of this would be the French national team, right? The French national team is 90% African. 90%.
They African won't, descent.
Yeah, 90% of African descent. But I don't want to disrespect them because they chose their nationality. So I know it's like a very fine line, but I'm going to try to be as...
objective.
As blunt as possible in this and objective at the same time, right? So as you know, my country has...
12 of the 23
French players. 12 of the 23. Okay, but I'm telling the starting lineup.
In the starting line, I'm not too sure.
Their starting line is probably closer to 90% African, right?
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Seven of them, yeah. So there you go. So mm-hmm. seven out of the 11 starting players are African, right? Just to give you exact numbers. Like I said, I'm going to try to be as objective as possible, knowing the history that the French had with our continent, right? We're all aware that we were colonized by the French, at least 14 West African countries, and I happen to be from one of them, and Adama as well. As you can see, our countries, right, recently started making big noise in the World Cup, at least in my lifetime, mm-hmm, right? Sure. But we see a lot of people that have last names, African last names, on these teams winning the World Cup, right? Now, should we be mad at them for choosing their career over our country? I don't think so, because if I had the opportunity to play for the French national team, I would have played as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that probably says a lot about my character right there, but...
No,
but it says a lot about my character, but where I'm upset is why... So two sides. I'm not going to blame those players for doing what they did and went and played. Like, now that I look at it, I'm like, they could have moved the needle and like stayed home and brought that attention home, brought their talent at home. If you look at a player like Mbappe, who was a... first generation French citizen, mm-hmm, right? He's from Cameroon. Imagine Mbappe playing from Cameroon. This man is one of the most sought after soccer players of our generation right now. He's only like, what, 25 years old? He's worth like a lot of $1 million. Imagine he used that to play for the national team in Cameroon, right? Would that have made it better? Would he have won a World Cup? We never know. But if had he returned, would that have ruined his career? We don't know that neither. So, like I said, I'm not mad at Mbappe for doing what he's doing, but I'm mad at our people and our governments not being able to invest in our sport to try to retain these people in some way, shape, or form. And that I'm going to leave, start the conversation there, see if you guys have some feedback on it, and then I could get a little more into detail about it.
Yeah, so on the topic of France, I feel like France always had an open-door policy in terms of making other players from foreign countries play for the national team. So, like, if you look at players like Thierry Henry, Anelka, Cisse, those are players that have a foreign background, of a background of parents that immigrated to France and lived in France, you know. So, Thierry Henry, I believe Thierry Henry was born in Guadeloupe. Or Anelka was born in Guadeloupe, one of them. But, yeah, on the topic of, like, if players, should players help the continent back, I believe that some of them, they don't really even, they never even been on the continent, I believe. They may have visited, but, like, they don't really know too much about the continent because they was born in France or foreign, one of another European country. So, like, they may not know a lot about what's going on and how to help out. I mean, yeah, they may have parents that come from an African ancestry, but I feel like a lot of them don't really understand their worth in terms of helping the continent. So, majority of them just know their lifestyle in the European country, you know. So,
That's definitely one point of it. I think there's the, as far as maybe just defending and giving them a little bit of leeway. It's you, at the end of the day, although you may be first generation or whatever it is, you were born here and this is what you know. This is the place that you feel has brought you, that has given you life in a sense, that's shown you culture, that's, you know, this is where you think you're from. So
that's all they know. And like I said,
and maybe that's on,
you can't blame them for that.
Yeah, then maybe that's on parents, and maybe that's on people to make sure your children are still connected with where they're from. And it's a complex one. I think for me, where I look at it is more so whether or not you, well, I don't know. I think people should come back, you know. And TK, when you say that it may or may not ruin their careers and stuff like that, I think when we're speaking about certain people, we're speaking about people with talent. We're speaking about people who are on these other teams making impacts when they could be making impacts here at home. I think people should never be afraid of that, because the opportunity lies in being a trailblazer.
Yeah, but
and setting something new, because there are greats who haven't won. And for people who know, people like George Best, who people consider George Best one of the greatest of all time. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so he's never won a World Cup or brought that glory to his nation, you know, but his nation recognizes him for everything he's done. So I think it's a fine line. You know, there's this part of the problem is that thing, you know, people are like, you need to win. If you don't win, you haven't achieved anything, you know, and that's not the case. You know, there are levels of success you can achieve, and then you can build and set a foundation, because all it takes is a beginning. The reason why some of these countries are so successful is because they have people setting the foundation. People set the foundation years ago, and now they're successful now. Somebody has to come and sacrifice and set that foundation, you know? So although, you know, there are ways to defend them about, like, you know, they could come back I do understand them staying there. I do believe that there needs to be trailblazers. There needs to be people to come back and say, all right, this is where we're going to start. And the more people that come back, the more balanced the playing field is, in my opinion. Because when we speak about France having 12 of their 23 players of African descent, to me, it's not all 12 are coming from the same country. We're talking about different places, from Cameroon, Ivory, from Senegal, Guinea, Ghana, wherever it might be. If you spread these people out, you now balance the playing field, and the world scale evens out. It even builds more competition.
Yeah, but I also feel like, too, Africa don't have the developmental infrastructure to develop their talent.
That's what I was about to get at. It's not about, like, it sounds very philosophical to say, yeah, you should come back. And I agree with you. You know, in a perfect world, yeah, of course, all these players go back. But like Amir was trying to echo a second ago, we don't take these players seriously. We don't take our sports seriously. That's not true.
Or talent.
What do you mean by seriously?
I'm saying in terms of organization, just for everybody to understand. Right,
you're talking about doing the extra work.
No, of course, but somebody has to invest in a sport in order to for us to recognize talent like that? Why does the French national team has so much talent on their team? Because they're keen on developing it.
But we do have talent, so the talent's being outsourced.
But that's my point. Why is it being outsourced? Because these people are taking it and are developing. They take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Germany has this nice program for this, the soccer team. I see China now is putting a lot of money towards their sports. The African continent is, in terms of sports and the economy of sport, is growing at 5%. But like the economy has not benefited from it yet. When we talk about developmental policies on the African continent, sports should be included into it, and to a serious degree. I get it. Our continent is facing a lot. There's countries that are facing insecurity. There are countries that are facing famine. Like I said at the beginning, there's countries that are facing climate change. There's a lot of things that countries are facing in Africa, right? And you can go to the specific. We can break down every African country. But sports, if more investment is done into sports, something that people love, and like Laura said, something that brings people together the way it should be. And I'm tired of this old charity thing. Oh, yeah, we're starting this charity work. Although it is good, right? We'll take the charity where we can get it from. But instead of these, oh, like NBA Africa, for example, right? They're actually investing into African people. They're not just going for a charity game, having a little match, giving people some basketballs, giving them some sneakers, and getting out of there and doing a photo op. They're actually investing, trying to develop people. Hence why you have the Joel Embiid's. Hence why you have like players of that, Pascal Siakam, who are from... came from poverty and are making millions and are changing their villages today. You know what I mean? I think that's where our focus needs to be in terms of investment. And that's where we lack as a continent. You know, there's some countries that do take their players seriously. For example, the Senegalese team, they're putting more and more money towards it now, you know, although they do face a lot.
They're pretty nice.
But they're putting money towards it. They're investing in the right places. And like I said, I'm going to get into more and more detail as we go through this. I just want to ease us into it and for you guys to be able to give your opinion as well. But
I mean, I got more questions than comments in this situation, especially in respect to soccer. So I'm just trying to piece everything together. So my question is, number one, so you see how European countries and also in different parts of the world, their sports clubs are very, very successful. Mm-hmm. In terms of the private ownership, in terms of
La Liga,
how they operate their franchise and how they operate just the league in general. Mm-hmm. My question is, does Africa has that, and does that lead into the investment of, again, just talking about just soccer in general, investment of soccer. So to bring more context to what I'm saying. So you see how, for example, like, and I'm just using the analogy of basketball. So the United States have, the NBA is what, like, dominates the global market in terms of
basketball.
Mm-hmm. But that's just because the franchises are super successful. From the Lakers to the Celtics.
I mean, the NBA.
It's an international league at this point.
Yeah.
The NBA does a good job at that.
Yeah. But. Same thing with Europe and soccer. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to now, like, let's say on an international stage where it's country against country, if you're in that continent or in that space where it's already a thing where the franchise is already lucrative and the development is there and all of these is there, don't you think that on that micro level has a macro level impact in terms of the sports development?
Absolutely. But
because at the end of the day, it's like, for example, like Ghana has, you know, its own sports clubs.
Of course.
But it's not nearly as successful.
Yeah,
as
but absolutely. You preach it to the choir. My point is.
So my question is that, like, do you think that has an influence?
The popularity of the leagues and all?
Not the popularity, but just the success rate and the operation of just the franchises in those,
but the popularity is part
big,
of it
in those big countries, because
even
popularity, like soccer is the most popular sport
in the world, Africa. And it's popular in our respective countries as well.
Like, so popularity, we got the popularity, but
no, but the leagues are also popular. Like, when you say Premier League, it's not like it's the only league in England. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There are leagues underneath them. People get relegated and moved up. For example, a team like Nottingham Forest, not to make it's not a soccer episode, but like was moved up this season into the Premier League. Mm-hmm. So now they're in the cool club. Mm-hmm. You know, just being in the Premier League makes you part of the cool club.
And where does the Premier League take place?
In England.
England? To your point, so for example, now let's say if we get into the let's say FIFA World Cup, right? England definitely has all the resources based on the franchise and the Premier League to actually build a good national team.
But what I'm saying, I agree with you, but to your point,
like, not saying national team in terms of like actually them winning games, no, but in terms of the development.
I get your point, but you went a little too far with it. You're talking about these countries that are already advanced. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to take a step back and recognize the condition our continent is in. Mm-hmm. We're not doing the best right now, you know?
But you're talking about investment, though. No, investment but that's can what I'm saying, advance but it.
My point, and we have to start investing in doing less charity. These people that you're talking about today, you look at these big NBA clubs, they've been investing for years.
Yeah.
They don't have to deal with things such as like famine and stuff like that in their countries, or people not having water, for example, in America, although Flint is going through it right now. But my point being is, there's enough people have enough disposable income to actually be able to attend these games. These stars are being able to
pay. It's the investment in the sport as well. You know?
People invest. By you going in to watch a basketball game or going to watch some, you're investing. You have the money. Mm-hmm. All that's how these NBA teams.
But make, I will make say you'd money. Also be surprised, because that's also now we're talking about it, we see how detailed this thing is.
Yeah, it gets,
but like also it's the tourist attraction as well. Like, when you talk about some of these places who are getting a lot of, you know, people coming in, whatever, some of these stadiums, it's not like it's people who are from there that are packing out these arenas. Oh. It's a lot of tourists, especially in places like LA and like New York and these big markets. You know, a lot of tour, like the New York Knicks are not a good team. Sorry. But they're still one of the highest grossing organizations in the NBA.
The city.
You know what I'm saying? Because people are coming in and still paying to just come see. So if we're going to come back to just like, you know, and in places like Africa, it could be simple as, are there enough things going on?
No, but also there's a lack of structure. For example, I just, from this article I'm reading right here, right? If you look at Europe, for example, right? The direct effects of sports, not just soccer alone, but of sports in general, with its multipliers, right? Indirect included as well, right? It's about 3% of their overall gross value, and that is almost $300 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that! That's only 2% of their economy, or close to 3%. It says right here 2.98. Right? Just imagine we invested, and we could get even like a third of that out of it.
So that,
right? And retain our players as well. That's what I'm saying. We lack structure. You know, you can have a player playing, for example, I can give you an example, the Malian Academy, for example, right? Like, for example, Golo Kanté, he's Malian, plays for the Malian Academy, right? Then his parents get an opportunity and they go to France. They take Golo to France. This talented player, right? Now he's playing for the French national team, making millions.
Mm-hmm.
If we had the structure, right, to keep a player like Golo Kanté in Mali, would that have made a difference?
So that's the question that I'm posing, is that what the structure looks like in regards to the sports of soccer. Is structure in terms of, that's why I was asking about, just because you pointed out something that's very, very interesting, which is the economics of what sports brings to a nation, you know, and Adama, you also talked about it too as well. So that's why I'm just trying to find out. When you talked about tourism, that is a very good example of that. In terms of, for example, if your biggest player literally is from your host nation, and your host nation is able to bring him out onto the field and, you know, do what he or she does best, that brings a lot of revenue in terms of the positive externalities that come with it. From tourism to merchandising to people, how'd you call it, buying goods and services over there, to businesses actually booming, to spikes in sales. It's a trickle down effect. So that's my question in terms of, what does investment in the sports of soccer in Africa look like?
Right,
that's what I'm trying to get. Because again, I don't know too much about that. Sports in general.
Because we don't just want to exclude
sports in general. Like, because I don't know, again, too much about it. That's what I'm trying to figure out in terms of how does that look like. You know what I'm saying?
But you were supposed to do research before this. What's going on, man? What's going on, man?
Remember, too, a lot of these teams are already established. Majority of the time, people that the way how their players are getting paid is through sponsorships. So does Africa have, the real question could be, like, does Africa have the ability to have sponsorships for their team where they have the economic capacity to actually hold a stadium, and not only that, too, where the people could actually spend money within the stadium or spend money within, like,
buying, I'm not gonna lie, it's like, sad to say, I like where you're going with what you're saying right now, because it's amazing, but a quick answer to just answer your question is corruption, man. These brands don't want to get involved with us.
Yeah, I think
where's the money
not
going?
Necessarily, like, but that's what I'm saying. At this point, it seems as though we need a lot of. It starts maybe with outside investment, because when we speak about something like the NBA,
we need new stakeholders.
The Basketball Africa League. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They came in and they said we want to invest in the African youth that are playing basketball. You know, we've seen the products that come out of this place, and there's a lot here, and somebody needs to bring in big eye to it. And I think like something as simple as them reaching out to somebody like J. Cole, or J. Cole being like, okay, big famous artist here in America wants to come over and play in this league, you know, bringing a whole nother environment and a whole nother audience eyes on this. Some of the sponsors that the Basketball Africa League had was like Hennessy and Wilson Company, the tennis.
That's hot on. We don't.
Yeah, you know, we don't do that. But those are big famous companies that stand out. And
or Puma.
Everything is about bringing eyes to the sport. Yeah. Everything's about bringing attention to the sport.
And the key word, they're investing. They're not just going there for charity work. They're investing.
They're investing. We're sitting down. We're going to let these leagues develop. You know. So now Basketball Africa League will have another season. You know, and teams are playing, and then people can be drafted now.
And talent
from
is coming.
This league. And then brought into the NBA, you know, almost like a G League or D League division where people are developing their talent and working hard. So, like, those are, you know, I think that might be our first step. If we're going to be stuck at corruption and all these different things, it's going to be as simple as just outside involvement and people looking and sitting down like, all right, how can we partner with these established systems already? You know, and I think maybe even when I think of that, now we can almost point a finger at things like FIFA and like Premier League and stuff like that. What are they doing? To sit down and being like, okay, we want to make leagues and bring more, you know, attention to these things. Because there is a dominance in, because it's not just Africa as a continent who are struggling behind like the Premier League and these other big clubs in these big places, or even like the NBA or big cricket leagues or other big places. It's just because, it's almost every other continent in the world, whether it's South America, Asian teams, or other clubs that are dealing with the fact that they're not getting recognition. And their talent is there, you know? So I think all of it involves with partnering up. I think that's going to be our biggest key, partnering up with these established institutions to, like, work on expanding what they've already developed so we can just take from there and draw. And people can, you know, there's enough for everybody.
Another thing I want to add, and this, we could probably use this to take a step back, right? Our culture in Africa, you know?
What about it?
Growing up, for example, right? I wanted to be an athlete. I wanted to be a soccer player. I wanted to be a basketball player. What do your parents tell you? Nah, you're going to be a doctor. Nah, you're going to be a lawyer.
Actually,
you're going to be president.
If I took soccer seriously, my dad would actually.
Yeah, I can't speak for that myself.
No, but I'm just saying for maybe.
Other sports, nah.
I don't think it's a minority. I think it's a majority. Like, it's a majority. So in our culture alone, just starting from a young age, we don't even value it that much. Because you look at soccer players, like, the chance of you making it, you're not going to make it. Focus in school.
Yeah, it's normally if you have talent young, you notice it young, and then you just start. But there's no, like, maybe, like, if it, like, when we just reach a certain age, to be honest, it's like, if you haven't shown any real thing, give up
now. But I'm saying, like, even I don't know about you guys, but at least in my country, like, emphasis on just go to school, get your stuff done, and get, like, a job, you know? Sure. And that culture, like, kind of, like, it's amplified even in a government. They don't put too much money into sports. Are the sports in my country? Oh my goodness! Come on, like the president of FIBA right now is actually from my country. FIBA basketball is actually from my country. Yeah. Now, what does he have? He has the opportunity to what? To highlight basketball in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
This is with NBA Africa, with all these leagues that are happening, people are investing. This is an opportunity to bring it to your country and show, and try to bring talent, try to invest in it so people can play, and you're gonna get a return on those investments eventually, but. The culture is that, nah, go be a lawyer, man. Like, so we don't, that's what I'm saying. We not only lack structure, but we don't value this. We don't see this as an opportunity to make money, because we had too many soccer players or too many basketball players that do play and never make it quite to that level.
I just want to say, I kind of agree with you, I feel like we're kind of blazing that path now. I think more recently we're really starting to build that. Even when you think of like owners or like general managers, like Masai Ujiri, African general manager, the first. Like even when you like people are talking about sometimes they won't like some analysts will not even say, oh, he's the first black manager. They'll say he's the first African manager. You know what I'm saying? And the first year he was there brought a championship to an entire country. You know what I'm saying? So now it's like, oh shoot, let's look over to this side of the world real quick. There might be some real talent, you know?
And he's a real champion for that. And he's the one that actually even said the quote, more investment, less charity. This is what Africa wants.
Wow.
Into sports. Okay. He literally said that. And he's a champion for that. And that's somebody that if people are more interested about sports and the economical effects of it, should go listen to, because he knows what he's talking about. He's actually putting things into action for it too.
Okay, but I also want to like try to bring it. Think about it from a different perspective, more so from the athlete's perspective. Personally, like if you just thinking about it competitively, if you want to be the best of the best, you go where the best of the best play at, which is the European League, right? Mm-hmm. So depending on what sport you play, wherever the best of the best play at, you want to play with those best of the best. So can you really necessarily come at the athletes for deciding to take the talent somewhere else?
No.
Because at the end of the day, because at the end of the beginning, that's what the big boys play at.
I'm not coming to play in Africa. I'm like, not lying.
Okay, all right. Now that we're all gonna say no, then I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna be real technical about this. Kind of not really. You can come at the end of the day, bro. Nothing's ever been accomplished without somebody taking a step forward. That's just fairly simple. And I think the problem is very much aware to everybody who's playing these sports and the people who are from the place they were from, because they get asked these questions. Kareem Benzema gets asked, hey, do you want to play this? Leroy Sané gets asked, hey, do you want to play this? Do you want to play this? Joel Embiid gets asked, hey, are you going to go back and try to do this?
But
you know what I'm saying? Like people who are like Luka Doncic, who just qualified his team for the Olympics for the first time ever. There are people who are asked, hey, are you going to go back and do that? Can you qualify your team for the first time ever? Those are things that people get asked, and you have an opportunity to step up and say yes. So yes, maybe we can't be like, we can't shun you, but we can be like, hey, you know, you went the easy way.
Yeah, but
I just want to be very clear about that. We can be critical. Yeah. It's not as simple as black and white. Like, oh yeah, you know, you didn't. No, that's not the thing.
I don't blame them. Because I'm gonna tell you why.
That can be said about the first ever for almost anything.
No, but can I explain myself why I don't blame them? Because these decisions are made when the first time you decide to step on that national team.
What?
Like Mbappe stepped on the national French team at 18. He can't go back and play in Cameroon. He can't go back.
That's even more technical than where I was going. Now you're going to start picking per player.
No, I'm not saying per player, but I'm saying like just for our audience to understand, these decisions, it's not like you can up and just leave the national team you chose when you were young and just go play for another team.
That's not always the case. What about somebody like Nanika Ogumike? For the Sparks, who wants to go back and play for Nigeria?
FIBA denied it.
Okay, but they're denying it off the fact that it's like a timetable.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can't, like, that decision affected her wanting to play for Nigeria now, because she was all about the U.S. And now I get it, and I respect her for trying to go back to play for the Nigeria team, but for some reason, there's rules and regulations that you can't just do that.
But it speaks, but the question was, can we be critical of these people? Can be critical of what they're doing. And I'm saying, we're talking about just the mindset of the person saying, yes, I would like to or not. Whether or not Killian can or not, if I ask you, can you? Are you saying, are you willing to? Or do you saying, you know, you want to stay here? Those are two very big different things. And I'm speaking that athletes have the ability to say, yes, I would like to do this. At some point in my career, would it be a great opportunity to do this? Why? Because it'll help this. Just sparking the conversation does everything. The smallest things make the biggest pushes.
And I take it even a step further. What can we do before Killian even gets to that point? And we take an example on the soccer player Mbappe. Before he even gets to that point, to retain him before he even leaves.
Obviously, those are two separate things. What the person decides to do, because at the end of the day, you're born into your situation. Your athletic career is from what? From the ages of, I don't know,
This
kid's a professional. Forget it. Let me rephrase that. The cap is normally somewhere around the average is under 40. For almost every league in the world, athletic part, you're not really getting higher than 40. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have this window of time to excel in this field. So yes, it's a different issue when we're talking about, hey, what are you going to choose to do to make a name for yourself, to leave a legacy, blah, blah, blah. But to go to that point, that's why the problem isn't with the person. It's with how we fundamentally have structured the system. You know, like obviously we have to start from ground up, and maybe that means like starting sporadically and you having a player here, a player there, a player here, a player there. But even places like Senegal, I think, is doing a decent job of that. I think places like Senegal, like where the African team, Senegal has, I think, almost the entire starting lineup plays in the Premier League.
Yeah, or other leagues.
They play for a high level club.
For the higher leagues. And, so it's like,
high level club.
And yet all of them play for Senegal. When it's time to play national, they're playing for the team. You know what I'm saying? So like they've done a decent job of building these players, making them successful, and that's how it starts. I think it starts with one sprout and it builds.
And
I think that's how it goes.
But that's why we're talking about this topic today, is because we're starting to see a change. Mm-hmm. And we just want to let people know that it needs to happen sooner than later. Right?
Because that's like a whole nother argument. No, I think we need to ride the train.
No, I think me personally, in my opinion, sports needs to be looked at as a bigger investment than it is right now. It shouldn't come just like as a second thought.
But can you come with the same? Hold on. Let me ask you this then.
Okay.
Where we are today, how popular our continent has become, the people that come from there, how successful we are in different fields. Mm-hmm. We're dominating, and we've spoken about how many sports. Basketball. Joel Embiid is a top three candidate for MVP for the past 3-4 years from Cameroon. UFC, we talked about three champions that held three of the biggest biggest trophies in their divisions. Mm-hmm. Okay, best in the world, arguably. Some of them pound for pound, best fighters on the planet. We go into soccer, we talk about teams like France. We talk about teams around the clubs, Premier League, who's dominated by African people. Mm-hmm. Some of their highest pickups, Liverpool, team like that. Two most expensive purchases.
Was actually just won in soccer by an Algerian.
You know what I'm saying? So like,
an Algerian who's French, just saying. Like that's my point. It's coming back to my point, bro. No matter what, like how you want to cut it, they're from African descent. Yes, we're proud of them, but at the end of the day, they're not in Africa, and we need to find a way to retain them in Africa. That's my point. You look at pioneers, like
you got me. Really, that's I'm what I'm sorry, saying. You got me laughing.
Like
I messed up my whole point.
You have to look at somebody like DJ Drogba, Eto'o. Eto'o today is the president of the Cameroonian Football Federation.
Yeah,
you know what. He's taking actively, and he's the pioneer we're talking about. He's the one that went and made his millions, and he's like, I'm going to stay. He played for Cameroon his whole life, played for the biggest club, won the biggest trophies you could win in soccer, and came back to his country, right, to become the president of their football federation. And watch how Cameroon does in the next few years. Let's see if Eto'o can make a change. You know what I'm saying? He already has players coming back.
All right, now that I'm done laughing, I remember my thing. My whole thing was, because at the end of the day, we're being critical about like our journey per se. And I was saying, recognizing where we are and where we've made leaps and bounds.
And that's natural. That's supposed to happen. But
so then that's why I say we ride the train.
To me, it's not going fast enough. We need to make it.
Bro, can't say that.
Listen.
Some of these leagues are still fairly young. Like when we talk about NBA, this is under 100.
My point
that's
is,
like 100 and something.
My point
they're babies.
Mbappe is gone. You know what I'm saying? Joel Embiid is gone. Joel Embiid tried to play for the French team in FIBA. He's gone.
We look to the future.
You know what I'm saying? Giannis Antetokounmpo had an opportunity to play for Nigeria this year. He didn't play. He went to play for Greece.
But
he's gone.
Like, yeah.
Players are gone. I'm talking about now. The next generation is coming up.
Don't say gone.
But that's gone, guys. He's gone. Hold on. No. It's okay if that's the point. It's okay if that's the point. Because that's the whole focus is that that's where we've messed up. The whole focus of the conversation is how we're going to get better at it.
That's my point.
Okay. And how we do that from now is understanding that, yo, I think once African officials and people sit down, they realize all of these talents came from us and we can foster them. All it takes is sitting down and saying, you know what? Let's just take the time to spend this time period and saying, hey, no more, we're going to invest here. Oh, this is the program. This is what we need. We're going to import these things. Oh, we're going to need these programs to start doing that. And maybe they start small in Africa. Maybe it's like certain states that have them, certain areas that have the certain things. I mean, region still seems a little big to me. It could start off like places like Senegal is the development camp of the world of Africa. You know what I'm saying? And then it branches off. And now Development Web is expanding across. You know what I mean?
That's that African utopia talk. You
that's
know
how it all starts.
That's that African utopia. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Anyways, one Africa, Africa.
I have the faith.
Come on, guys. Let's get real here.
I mean,
if anybody's listening, man, invest in us. We have all the talent.
I mean, this topic is very, very interesting because it's actually, even though we're talking about just a very specific situation, I feel like this topic is a microcosm of what's actually going on in Africa at large, especially in terms of investing into Africa, in terms of what do we need to come back or not, in terms of how do we develop our own and retain our own talents, in terms of having a brain drain. You know what I'm saying? So even though we're talking about this with sports, this relates to all other aspects of development, not only in the sport, in sports in Africa, but also just in the quality of life in Africa too as well.
We're always behind, man. It's annoying. It's annoying, man. It's annoying.
I mean, we could use, we're racing now. That's why if we could crack the code with sports, I feel like that could be a segue into cracking the code in other aspect of some issues that needs resolving. And I'm sure it probably might be the same way for the Caribbean too as well.
Of course.
In terms of Jamaican teams. I don't know too much about Caribbean right soccer now, like that, so you're going to have to school me a little bit,
bro. Like right now, too, the UN is trying to invest more within sports within the Caribbean because they're saying they're trying to combat poverty right now. So they're trying to use sports as a tool to help like eradicate poverty through the youth,
and at least. That is exactly my point. It is part of the United Nations 2030 agenda to include sports. If the United Nations is including sports, why don't our government, why don't we as Africans give more legitimacy to sports? You know, I understand that it's going to take a while. You know, Adama said it because he thought I was being a little too hard on it. It's going to take a little bit.
The train's moving.
But it's going to take a wide array of actors. It's going to take governments, international organizations, sports movements, associations, financial institutions, businesses, and even athletes. You know, we're all going to have to, and people, the population itself, we're all going to have to play a role in this journey. But as long as we all have this objective of trying to include sports into our economic plan, I think from there we can make something happen, and we can make something good happen. And this might be a good place to, you know, let it go. This might be a good place to let it go, you know? I hope, unless Lord, you have something to say. You have something to say real quick. Quick point.
Nah. Lord,
point.
You want to do our outro one time?
Quick point,
nah,
quick point.
Nah, I don't have nothing to say. Right. No, it was a good conversation.
I'm just saying, if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with sports in Africa, just in general, I hope we open that can of worms for you. Pay attention to African players around the world and you'll see what we were talking about. The World Cup is in, what, a month?
Yeah.
It's in a month in Qatar.
Qatar.
There's going to be a few African teams playing.
Woo-woo, Senegal.
Yep.
Include, Ghana. Ghana.
They know we're talking about somebody.
That we will be supporting. And I'll be supporting France as well because they're an African team. I don't care how controversial that is.
Respectfully.
I hope you guys and the people listening, although we try to make this conversation as fun as possible, it is very like a very serious topic, and it does have a lot of opportunities in the future for us. You know, it's a lot of money in it. It's like I said, the UN is using it as part of the Sustainable Development Goals for 2030.
Mm-hmm.
By 2050, one in every three African will be considered like a young person or below the age of like 20. So we have the opportunity, we have the talent, we have the people. Why not make it happen? Why not take it seriously?
It's never too late is, you know, my point.
It's never too late. There's a lot of issues going on in Africa. This is something positive. This is something people love. This is something that we already see that people are making money. We have the Samuel Eto'os. We have the DJ Drogba's, you know. We have the DJ Okocha's of Nigeria. Like, we have a lot of players. That's what I'm saying. We
had three movies come out about his journey.
We have the Serge Ibaka's. Like, we have people in the world that
we
shows
got the
that
Usain Bolt's.
Mm-hmm. Usain Bolt's. We got people that can make this happen. Why not? Why not put effort into these people? Why not? Why let other people take these people from our continent, which I consider our resources as well?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You already took the gold. You know what I'm saying? You're already taking the oil. Why, our athletes as well? Come on now.
Put your foot down.
Come on. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. You can always find us on Instagram, it.i_pod. We keep saying this Twitter thing. We are going to start it. Believe me, we're on it. We're working on it. It's just we're not as social media savvy as we should be, but we're going to put a lot of pressure on ourselves to make that happen.
Deep breath was really felt.
Yeah, we're going to put a lot of pressure on ourselves to make that happen. If you have any questions, you can always DM us on Instagram. That's where we're the most active.
How you feel?
Remarks. Responses to our episodes, comment.
Topic you know, like, discussions.
Share, do anything you can. We want to interact with you guys. We want to hear what you guys are interested in. Things that you maybe that we're not seeing and you want us to talk about, we'll talk about those as well. And we're also available on all streaming platforms. So tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Peace. Are you up yet?